AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app. AM 570, an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peterson.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peterson.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
Let's go. Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete on AM 570 LA Sports. 2 hours for us today, Rodney. And Ned Colletti will join us at about 12:20. Got to get caught up in the lockout.
Oh, yeah.
Signings, things like that. Dodger fans, there's your alert. Ned Colletti on the show today at 12:20. All right. So last night it happened, the work stoppage in baseball. Now, this is not a surprise and it's not a shock. If you listen to the show, you knew it was going to happen. Actually, if you're a sports fan, you knew it was going to happen. Now, when this happened, of course, the people at Channel 4, who basically are not sports fans, freaked out. Freaked out. I mean, freaked out. Oh, my God. You've got to be kidding me. Oh, my God. I said, look, we all knew this was going to happen. It's not a shock. It's not a surprise. There's not going to be any more baseball. Yes, there is. There will be baseball. Settle down. We knew it. It happened. And now the real work starts. The Players Association and the owners will not try to bargain a new agreement. It's that simple. So, Rodney, let's not freak out because this happened, because everybody knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, of course. I mean, again, you said it best. If you're a sports fan, in particular a baseball fan, you know this is... You know, this is kind of brewing and going to happen. I guess the casual fan probably doesn't understand that. But we saw this brewing, Fred, when during the pandemic, when they were going through those discussions, that we knew this was right around the corner. And it wasn't going to be resolved easily. And it was going to take a work stoppage to do it. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate because these things, they start and they happen in December. You're like, oh, that's the December baseball season is a long way away. No big deal. But sometimes these things linger on, Fred, and it becomes ugly.
Yeah. Hopefully it doesn't get that way. But it's underway. So now the conversations will really begin in earnest. Yesterday, the players and owners met. That's good news for 7 minutes. Not much going to get done then. Right? Probably showed up, said hello.
Yeah.
And where are we going to really get to business? We've got a lockout situation. So, if you sign somebody before midnight last night, you're in business. Well, we know the Dodgers lost Max Scherzer. We know they lost Corey Seager. But they did sign Chris Taylor. We told you that was going to happen yesterday afternoon. It's 4 years, $60 million. Well-deserved.
Oh, yeah.
Well-deserved.
Yeah.
Had to hold on to him. I think everybody should look at that as a major victory. The one guy you didn't want to lose was Chris Taylor. We know Corey Seager. Everybody loved him. Everybody wanted him to stay. The homegrown kid. You now have a guy that plays four different positions. And he can play every day anywhere you need him to play. That's the guy you wanted. For me, that was great. It's good they held on to Chris Taylor. By the way, did you see Corey Seager yesterday? Did you? Maybe you didn't see it. We showed it on Channel 4. Part of his news conference in Texas.
Yeah.
Sitting there with the Ranger hat and the Ranger shirt. And he said, you know, look. You know, all right, I'll do it the way I do it. So I don't want anybody to yell at me and go, that's not exactly what he said.
Yeah. Are you prefacing it by saying you're going to butcher this, Fred, and mess it up and put your own spin on it? Is that what you're saying?
Well, my spin will be accurate. I'm not trying to butcher it.
Did you hear that, Kevin?
Fred's spin will be accurate to Fred.
No, it's good. All right, anybody that heard it will know this is accurate. Here's what he, anytime I preface it with, here's what he basically said.
Yeah.
Here's what he basically said.
Yes.
He said, we didn't say it like this, but I took it like this.
Okay.
So this is how you interpreted what he said.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean,
going to great lengths.
No, because now I'm thinking, if one of you saw it, you're going to say he didn't say that. And I don't think he used this particular word, but he basically did. He said, look, I know we're garbage here. he didn't use garbage.
Jesus,
but he did. He
of said course something. He didn't use garbage.
But he, I mean, that's what he said. I know we're garbage. But you know what? I embrace that. I look forward to that. Because I'm going to come to the ballpark every day and grind. That's all I do is grind. And we've signed some new players. And we look forward to basically not being garbage anymore. Kevin, if you can find Corey Seager from yesterday, and if you do, we put it on the air, then you'll see I'm basically right in what I said.
Right. So Corey Seager said they were garbage, but he was going to go out and play hard every day.
He looks forward to it. No, he embraces it. They're not going to shy away from how bad they are. They're not going the other way on this one. They're serious. They're going to turn this thing around. So anyway, that's what he said yesterday as he's sitting there, and I'm thinking, okay, you made a choice. Congratulations to you. I'm not telling you not to take the money. He got the best deal. He went to Texas. Do you think in the 10 years he is supposed to play there, and there's no guarantee he'll play there 10 years. You know, they might try to move him at some point. But in the 10 years he's supposed to play there, do you think they'll win a World Series, Rodney?
If I'm a betting man, no.
Right.
No. But, you know, baseball sometimes, you know, it takes two, three guys to get you right there. It's not out of the realm in baseball that they do it, but just to kind of the Rangers' little history, other than, you know, when Ron Washington was running the club and they went to the World Series a couple of times.
Yeah.
They have been garbage since then.
Exactly.
Garbage, Fred.
Exactly.
I don't see them getting to the World Series, but it's, again, it's not impossible.
Okay.
You said the Padres had no hope. In the next 10 years, do you see them possibly getting to the World Series? They got a chance.
Yeah, 10 years is a long time, and the Rangers have one of the top farm systems. They signed Marcus Semien, who's an all-star infielder, too.
Yeah, they're paying money right now.
And they're in the trade talks for Castillo. Like, they could turn this thing around relatively quickly.
Yeah. Do I think the Padres have hope? Now, well, when I said they had no hope, they really had no hope.
Right.
That was not an exaggeration.
Right, but that was within a 10-year period. That when you said that, I think it was 5 years ago. About,
yeah, 4 or 5 years ago. Yeah.
So that means they would have to make it in the next 5 years.
Yeah. But looking at that team and where they're going, where their stars are, and a new manager now, you know, at one point, and they were the hottest team in baseball.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously had their slide and injuries and their pitchers went in the tank, but they were at the top of the National League West at one point. So not out of the realm.
Okay. So for the Padres, I put them on the no-hope five-year plan. Now we're in the second of the 5 years.
Yes.
Sliver of hope. I give them sliver of hope.
Sliver of hope.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't give them a lot of hope. I give them sliver of hope. I give the Giants as much hope as I do the Padres. So consider
what?
That.
So you put the Giants in the same category as the Padres?
I give them as much hope to win the World Series in the next 5 years as I do the Padres. The Giants.
Really? You put them on the same plane?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because I'd bet on Farhan.
You said the same.
Right, I'm saying that's how I put the Giants in there. Okay. Giants and Padres have the same amount of hope.
Shocker, but you didn't say that last year. You didn't say all that last year when nobody picked the Giants. You know, Giants had a run and they got it together. Now you're saying, oh, yeah, I'll pick the Giants in there. Oh, of course. You didn't say that last year, Fred.
They didn't deserve to be in there last year. Now they deserve it. They've earned my sliver of hope.
Because they won the West, and now you're saying, oh, yeah, Giants. Yeah.
Well, sure. They proved it. Yeah. How many times have the Padres won the West recently?
Zero.
Right. How many times have the Giants won the West recently?
Once.
Giants deserve to be in there now. But do you have the Corey Seager bite? Let's see.
Yes, I found the bite that I believe Fred was talking about from Seager's press conference.
Well, it shouldn't be that hard to find it because I was basically quoting it.
I don't think you were quoting it. Here's what Seager had to say about it. Here's the exact quote from the man himself.
They were straightforward. You know, they were very open and honest about how many games they lost and where they're at in their organization right now and where their vision is for the organization. And that's something that we wanted to embrace. That's something that I enjoy. You know, I enjoy the work of it, the grind, the passion for the game, the do it the right way and to have the right people. You know, it always comes down to people, and these guys sitting up beside me are great people, and they have a great vision for this organization, and I was really excited to be a part of it.
All right. Was I that far off?
The part where you said that we suck or whatever it was that you said, I didn't hear that. You just said the front office was very honest about where they've been.
They're garbage.
I didn't hear garbage in there.
But that's what he meant.
So we're doing not what he said, but what he meant is what we're doing.
You're going to believe what you hear, or you're going to believe what I hear and tell you?
I'm definitely believing what I hear.
Okay, well, that
not
was
what, not what you, not what Fred is telling me to hear.
You sound like Vic, not. Fred. Exactly. Listen to what he doesn't say, yeah. Y'all.
That's exactly right. We all knew what he meant there.
You're channeling VTB, Fred. I love it.
Yeah, he is.
You know what he was? You know what that was, honestly? Honest to God? It was a cry for help. He's already crying for help.
Yeah. Yeah, go home and cry to his 100 and you know $200+ million, $300+, excuse me.
Right.
Yeah, 300. Yeah. Don't sell him short.
Excuse
Kevin.
Me, 325.
Yes.
Right. It was that. It was that 75-100 that sent him to Texas.
That's right.
Otherwise, exactly. They could have made that here.
Yeah. Who was that yesterday? Said, Vic. Oh yeah.
Yeah. So a few.
Well, the money's not everything. A few extra bucks. Few extra bucks. No, Vic, it's $7,500 million, Daddy. It's
$75 million in a place with no state tax.
Yeah. I don't know why he'd leave for the money. That's a nice chunk of change. That's a nice chunk of change.
A little bit.
All right. So we want to mention this real quickly. Oh, we'll do a little more baseball. I was going to do something else, but there's a couple of more baseball notes. First, did you go to the Dodger website? Dodgers.com. If you don't want to do that, go to any major league website.
Nobody's there.
Right, because of the lockout, they took everybody's pictures down.
Yeah. They don't know who's going to be there.
Right.
There's no team.
And, you know, how about news and notes? Well, there's a statement from Rob Manfred. And aside from that, it's like great moments from the past. I think that is hilarious. Every team did it. The Angels listed great trades in history. Jim Fregosi for Nolan Ryan. That was on there. We checked some of them last night. Go to any Major League Baseball website.
Yep. I'm on the Rangers site right now. We're talking about Seager. They have the same letter to baseball fans, followed by their toy drive. Nolan Ryan's pitching his sixth career no-hitter. Pedro Rodriguez had a 9-game RBI, and that's pretty much it. And if you go to the roster pages.
Wow. It's a skeleton site.
Yeah. If you go to the roster pages, there's no roster.
Right.
It says coaches, top 30 prospects, front office, and broadcasters.
Right, because in theory, they have no players.
Nope. Oh, you know what? I lied. So if you go to the player page, the 40-man roster, the names are there, but there are no photos.
Right.
The photos of all the players are taken down on the websites.
Because their pictures don't exist. Don't look at them. It's, you know, don't look at me. Don't look at them right in the eye. They don't exist.
It's like the old NCAA football game where they just have, you know, just random names but no photos because they can't use the real players. You know, it's not Reggie Bush. It's, you know, number five from San Clemente, even though he's from San Diego.
Exactly.
That's how they do it. It's one of those.
Oh, God. So once this is resolved, everybody's pictures will be put back up. And two names that have been kicked around. This is interesting. I think Jorge Castillo had this, Rodney. You know, Andrew Friedman and the Dodgers, they kick the tires on everybody, right? If somebody's available, they kick the tires. Well, yeah, they also kick the tires on Carlos Correa. Who had that?
This was the agent of Carlos Correa spoke to a local television station in Houston. And the agent told him gave a list of teams that Correa is interested in teams he's been contacted by, and the Dodgers are listed as one of those teams.
Why not?
Right, I would think that the Dodgers would kick the tires on everybody.
Of course.
Carlos Correa.
Of course. And even if they didn't, the Correa camp is going to say that they did. If they make it like Ned says, you know. I make a phone call, I tell a guy, and absolutely hell no, and it comes out and says, we've been in communication.
Right.
We've had talks. Right. We've had talks with the Dodgers. Ned told the guy to F off. He said, yes, we've been in talks with the Dodgers.
Right. Are the Dodgers interested? Yeah. What if the guy called and said, hey, look, he agrees to play for $10 a year. Are you interested?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, we are. We're
negotiating.
Right. We're negotiating. All right, so there's that, and also the Freddie Freeman talk. A little more steam to that. We're not going to find anything out about that until after we get this collective bargaining agreement settled, Rodney.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, National League has the DH. I'm saying go get that guy. He's 32. He wants.
You think that's going to happen?
DH?
Yeah. You think that's going down?
I think DH is going to happen.
Yeah.
Go get Freddie Freeman. Spend the money, go get Freddie Freeman. Now he'll play first base until Max Muncy is healthy. Okay, and let's say he's playing well at first base, and they're happy with him there. When Max is healthy, well, all right, it's the old Dodgers. Where are you going to play him? Second? Third? You can play him in multiple positions.
His experience is mostly at first and third, and he can spell JT, and they can one can DH, and one can play third.
But he's played second.
There's a lot of moving parts.
No, he's played second.
It's been a while since he's played second.
I love it when he plays second, and somebody tries to slide into second base. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Max. I thought you were talking about Freddie Freeman.
No, Max.
Okay. You would keep Freddie at first and move Max around a little bit, right?
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, I'd like Max at second. I love when somebody tries to steal and slides into second. Max plays linebacker. It's great. You will not steal with Max Muncy at second base because he'll take you out. And remember when we had him at Hollywood Park, Rodney, and I brought that up to him? He goes, oh, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, former football player.
Yeah.
You know, he played in high school.
Right. I look forward to it. I want to take somebody out.
Yeah. Come on now, Rodney P. Fred Brogan. 2 hour sprint today.
Yep.
And you know when that music plays, you know what time it is, Fred.
Time to feel stronger every day. 25 or 64. Let's bring on the Godfather, the man in the big chair, and our good friend, Ned Colletti. Ned, good afternoon.
Hey, guys, that is a great song right there. That's a classic. That gets you rolling, don't it?
It does get you rolling.
Yeah, buddy.
Let's roll right into it. You're
piping that into the negotiation.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Off and running we go. There's a lockout. You've been through these before. Just talk about what it's like.
Well, it's obviously a tough time for everybody that loves the sport and is involved in the sport because you don't know really where it's going to go. You know, I'm not surprised that they've taken a recess here and going to take some time. Of all the collective bargaining agreements, really since the strike of 1994 when the World Series went away, was it a strike or a lockout? I can't recall at the moment. But ever since then, there's been kind of tinkering and a few things here, a few things there. But this one sounds like it's a lot of issues, a lot of different things that needs to be settled, a lot of things that people are thinking about. The pandemic certainly hovers over some of it, and the financial ramifications of a year ago and going forward, and not necessarily knowing everything we don't know. So I think it's going to take a while, and I think that I don't think we should be disillusioned by not having something on December 1st. I think whenever you have anything of huge magnitude like this, there's a deadline for a CBA, but that's not a deadline. That's not going to corrupt the season or slow the season or delay the season. When that day starts to get closer, that's when you'll figure out really where everybody's at. People have to make progress, certainly, in the next month or two. But I think the final yards to get to a completion on this will take place in the week before people decide, hey, we're going to miss too much spring training to start on time. When you got that thought and that date, you probably work backwards from that a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, Ned. I mean, you've been there and you understand all of this better than we do. Early on, and you just alluded to, you know, they've got a lot of things to work out. Do you get a sense of this is going to be tough or this is going to last a long time? And then on top of that, how hard do you actually work? I mean, we're coming up on Christmas and the holidays, and are they putting it on the back burner in their minds? Say, oh, we'll get to it at the end of the year. And like you said, as it gets closer, then it seems like they're meeting every day and on the hour, every hour. And like, as a fan, like, why didn't they do that at the start?
Well, you don't necessarily want to show your cards until you really have to, no matter what. No matter what side of any argument people are on. You know, they may agree. There may be portions on both sides that the other side agrees to right now. But if you're going to agree to something that the other side really wants, you're going to need something back for that, typically. So until all those things start to walk the walk and have, you know, get the course of the timing and the tenor of everything, and people are not too cautious to make a move to show, okay, I'll compromise on this, but I need that. When you start to have those conversations, then you can start to narrow a gap. One of the other dynamics of this, which is something that is sometimes lost in the overall view, more so with ownership, I think, than players. You've got a committee of players, okay? Max Scherzer is one of the leaders on that committee. You've got a committee of players that will keep their group, their peers, informed of what's going on and will make recommendations to Bruce Meyer and his crew. The ownership thing, though, think about the different types of ownership there are. And think about the small market teams, those that struggle for local revenue. Think about those who do not struggle for local revenue and are robust with their payrolls and their budgets and their revenues. Getting those groups on one page to agree is sometimes the toughest thing. But before you can negotiate your stance on what you want from, let's say, the owner's side, the owners have to be in agreement as to what they want. And you've got a vast array of revenues. You've got a lot of different things. You've got teams that bail out and lose 100 games almost annually now as they, quote, rebuild. You've got teams like the Dodgers trying to win 100 games annually. So you've got a lot of different interests and a lot of different ways of looking at it. Until you can get the ownership group and a concrete walk to a certain area where they're in unison as to what they can do to kind of help each other and to work together, it's tough to get the other thing going because you don't know really what your end goal is. And I'm not sure where they're at with that. I wouldn't know where they're at with that. But I know that that is a piece of it that they have to have solidified. They have to be in unison as to what we're doing free agency-wise. How does that affect different things? How does service time affect a small team, market team versus a large market team? How does the luxury tax affect the big market team and the residual of having the luxury tax and the finances that come with that going to the teams that do not have the revenue, hence that's why you have the revenue sharing? All these things have to be pretty much not maybe finalized, but people have to know where you're going with the group of 30 before you can even really make concrete progress, I believe, with the other side.
So, Ned,
does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. Absolutely. Dodgers lose Corey Seager, but I thought they signed the most important guy. I know Corey Seager was critical, but I thought signing Chris Taylor meant everything. What do you think?
Well, I think when Corey left, I think Chris Taylor, you know, tremendous value. We talk about it all the time. Really a valuable player, excellent player, good October player, clutch player, offense, defense, knows how to play. I think when Corey left, I think suddenly it became imperative to sign Chris Taylor. As you look around the team right now and you look at, okay, where is your depth? And we're always complimentary and really, you know, kind of amazed at how much depth this organization has. But when you start to lose players like a Seager, suddenly now, okay, Trey Turner moves to short. Okay, you got Gavin Lux to play second. What happens if you have an injury on either spot? Who are you going to play? What happens if Gavin Lux struggles offensively? Who are you going to play? And so I think the value of Chris Taylor is, you know what, you've got yourself a second baseman if you need it. You got yourself a shortstop if you need it. Center fielder, left fielder, right fielder sometimes, third baseman sometimes if you need it. That, to me, has so much value to it besides how he goes about what he does. You know, he pays attention to detail kind of guy, and the versatility plays. And I think that when Corey signed, you know, I felt bad Corey left. I love Corey. Corey's one of my favorite guys I've drafted and watched grow up. At the same time, you know, you get beyond that and you say, okay, what's the team going to do? What does it need to do to get back to where it's been? And to me, Chris Taylor was a must sign. That was a must sign for this organization.
I agree. I still hate the label utility guy because he's a really an everyday player that just plays multiple positions. But I'm so happy that he re-signed back. Ned, how much does, you know, Clayton dealing with his injury and coming back and whether or not that happens, and then on top of that, Max Muncy you know, as we just learned from him, that it's not the rehab process is not going as quickly as he would like. And then you start to hear names like Freddie Freeman is an option and all those type of things. How much does the injury play into these times in the offseason of whether or not you go out on the market and sign somebody else?
Well, I think the season, especially when we look at going from the 60 to the 162, having many options and depth is such a valuable component to it, and people with endurance to their game. I think in Clayton's situation, I think it's going to really be mostly left up to him as to how he's feeling and when he's coming back. But it's also, from a close perspective, I think you have to think about, well, how much, you know, how much can we expect? Is this going to be something that he may come into camp feeling great? He may pitch through the All-Star break feeling great, but he's had this issue. So it's not just Clayton. Anybody that you know has got a bit of an injury, a chronic thing that can continue to show up. You've got to protect yourself against that because you know some of it's going to happen, but you also know that there's going to be a few things that you can't even predict today that are going to happen. Max Muncy, for example. So you've got to have enough to get you through it. And you know that once the season starts, it's difficult to make a move. If you lose a player in April or May and you want to replace that player with a player of high skill level, you'll be paying $1.50 for a dollar, you know? And so that's, you've got to really do all of that heavy lifting before you get to a season. But, you know, you got to pay attention to everybody and know where they're at. Your medical people know where different people are at. People leave a season not always feeling 100%. Some nagging things. You got to continue to check in on that and figure that out. And now you have the added hurdle of no CBA and not knowing what that's going to look like. And also, you know, really no negotiations that are going to be able to go on between teams and agents and players. So a bit of a trying off season in a number of ways. And I think that's why you saw the skirmish there for about 10 days with teams really spending a lot. Except for the Mets, I think anybody that did spend a lot, i.e. Texas, they're probably so far away from a luxury tax no matter where it goes. They don't need to really worry about that. I think the teams that are over it already or hovering near it are a little bit more careful and a little bit less risk-averse to making a long-term commitment to somebody. Mets, different category, trying to get their franchise restarted. But I think that there's a lot of different things that people are thinking about right now, and it's going to be a lot of stop and start. And right now, a lot of more stop than start because you've got a different situation where you don't have a CBA and you can't do business as usual.
Ned, we love when you tell us these stories, and earlier we were kicking around. The agent for Carlos Correa came out and said, yeah, you know, the Dodgers, they have some interest. They made a call. And we started laughing because Rodney was talking about times where you'd come on and go, yeah, here's what would happen. An agent would call me. I would say, hello. And then the guy would say, yeah, I've talked to the Dodgers. They have interest.
Oh, yeah. Happens all the time. Oh, yeah, yeah. Hey, yeah, you have interest in this player? No, not really. Okay, hey, you know, next thing you know, you're reading on the trade rumors. Yeah, they talked to the Dodgers today, had a conversation today with the Dodgers, you know. So there's so much of that goes on now. There's so much posturing and different things like that. You know, I mean, who wouldn't have interest in Correa except, you know, probably the Dodgers unless they're going to play Trey Turner right at second base again, you know. So, and it's rare that you ever hear, and we should keep a list of this, the times you hear a team that has interest, a supposed interest, or I've talked to a certain team about a player, how many of those are teams with payrolls of 40, 50 million? Never, right? So you're always going to use, you know, the big spenders, the teams in the big markets, the teams that are you could see spending a lot of money on a player. You're never going to hear that, oh, yeah, this team is interested in a high-end player when their payroll would be doubled by signing that player. But you'll hear a lot of stuff, especially now you're going to hear it on the CBA, too. A lot of stuff that some of it's fact, some of it's fiction, most of it's someplace in between.
Ned, what agent used you the most in those kind of situations back in the day? Who was the one guy, if he represented certain clients, you knew, even if you had no interest in his client, but he made the call, you turn around and read, yep, the Dodgers had a conversation.
Oh, there's a handful of them. There's that one that was more so than the other. But, you know, as he got more experience with people and you knew him better, like I said, now don't be saying I got interest in this guy. You know, don't be going out there doing that. I have told agents, though, in the past, if you want to use – this was all something I did when I knew that there was competition inside the division or even inside the league, but really inside the division. If there was competition – and you kind of have a feel for where teams' payrolls are going to go and what their ownership is like and what their GM is like and what their team looks like and what they really need. And this happened to me a couple times where we were both interested in the same player and sometimes interested in the same two players. But my interest in player A was twice as much as my interest in player B. And I don't know where the other team was at on A and B, except that they probably needed or liked both players. So I would let the agent for player B, hey, if you want to throw me out there, throw me out there. Intense interest, a lot of conversations. Whatever you want to do, go for it. Other team reads that. Other team may think, hey, you know what? We have to get this guy. We don't know if we can get player A or not. But player B, yeah, we got to go get this guy signed. Happened a few times where they went and they made offers and they end up signing the player I had a passing interest in, not a strong interest in, and I knew they couldn't afford both. So then I had a clearer route to player A.
Very solid. Very solid, Ned. That's why you said
I could tell you one story, but I would probably get somebody in trouble by telling it. But it was a, classic. And they were hot. I got to tell you, they were hot. Ooh. When the agent for player B told them, they said, who keeps raising the ante on this guy? And he said, oh, I can't tell you that. And finally, he got it out of them after they did the deal. And the guy called me, you know, another Jim called me up. He says, you rat, you know, you crushed me here. I said, well, it's okay. I said, you'll be able to watch the other guy you want to play against you now because we're going to wrap that deal up.
The best, Ned.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a guy that I have a ton of respect for, he was hot.
Oh, you know what? It's just gamesmanship.
That's it.
That's all.
Yeah.
It's all part of the deal. It's all part of learning, you know. A lot of people negotiated, went to Harvard Law, did all this other stuff. You know, I went to the street corner in Franklin Park, Illinois, outside O'Hare Airport, and listened to the wise guys, you know, negotiate and try and take a quarter out of your pocket. So, you know, we all learn different ways. You got to be able to read people. You never know. Pay attention. Listen.
All right, Ned. Well, we love listening to you. Thank you for coming on, as always.
All right. Be well, gentlemen. Talk to you soon.
You got it.
Of Afternoon Delight is I'm Your Baby Tonight by Whitney Houston.
Okay, Rodney, next hour, Patrick Healy. Got a lot of stories to tell. Looking forward to talking to Pat on the show. But now the Chargers take on the Bengals in Cincinnati this Sunday. Let's bring on Kaiser White. Kaiser, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. Thanks for joining us. Defensive star, second on the team in tackles behind Derwin James. Okay, you guys are kind of at a crossroads at this point. Are you surprised you're at this point? Because the way you started, I never figured it would be like this.
Yeah, man, you know, you just can't take anything for granted. I know we had a good start, but, you know, we kind of, you know, took some difficult losses the past few weeks. So we're just trying to get on board and, you know, go on a run.
Yeah, and you know, it's crazy. As I look at the league this year, and you've been in the league for a few years, but every week it feels like, okay, these are the teams to beat, and then those teams get beaten, and it's a new set of teams to get beat. It feels like this one is going all the way down to week 18 to figure out who's going to make the playoffs, who's going to win the divisions. We thought, a couple weeks ago, we thought the Raiders were left for dead, and they go in and beat the Cowboys on Thanksgiving, man. So it's any person's game or any team's game to get to the playoffs. Do you guys feel that way? I think it's more so this year than ever that it's really one game at a time.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you're definitely saying this year you can't take any opponent lightly because, you know, anybody can be beat on any given day. That's why it's important to just go out there and, you know, play your best brand of football, so you know you could come out victorious.
Kaiser White is with us, Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete, AM 570 LA Sports. I have a question for you. Joey Bosa is pretty soft-spoken. We love having him on the radio because I think he's one of the most honest guys in the world. He'll say anything.
Yeah.
You know, there's no filter in his mind. Okay, good. That's where I'm going. So when he's in the locker room, what is he like?
Man, he's just real laid back. Like you said, he's real soft-spoken. But, you know, he's a real funny guy, man. He ain't going to hold his tongue for nobody, and he always just going to speak his mind.
Yeah, he will. Hey, guys, what's the biggest change for you as a still a young player in the league? When you came in, what was the biggest thing that you had to adjust to? I know for me as a quarterback, first off, it was the speed of the game, and then it was how I had to work on my accuracy, because guys in college when I played, you know, I had guys running wide open, and you know, I could be a little behind them or a little high, and it would still be a big completion, whereas I got to the NFL and those balls were intercepted. So that was a big change for me, is working on my accuracy. For you, what has been the biggest change or adjustment that you've had to deal with from college to pro?
Well, in college, I played safety, and then in the pros, I'm obviously a linebacker. So that was a big adjustment for me, you know, closer to the line, dealing with, you know, 300-pound guys that's coming up fast. To, you know, try to get your hands, their hands on you. So, you know, using my hands, not taking false steps, reading and reacting quick was like a big key for me to try to, you know, adjust to the speed of the game and things like that. So it was definitely an adjustment that I had to get used to.
Yeah, I'm wondering, what's it like having a 300-pound guy coming at you?
Yeah, man, you gotta fight, you gotta scratch, you gotta claw. You know, they big and they strong and they fast. You know, you got 300-pound guys running fast 40s nowadays, you know, so everybody's evolving. So, yeah, man, you just got to do whatever you got to do to, you know, get off the block.
Yeah, everybody's an athlete, no matter what size you are nowadays. I remember I could used to look at those guys, big 300-pounders. I'm not going to let them touch me. They can't get close to me. Now right. They're running, now right. They're running now 4
they,
or 5.
Now they out there flying. Yeah,
exactly. All right, Cincinnati, man, when you look at them and solid, and say what you will, but Cincinnati is for real. They got some players, especially their offense. Their quarterback obviously is playing well, and they've got the young receiver that's been phenomenal as well. When you look at Cincinnati, what are the challenges that they present?
Well, I think first, you know, obviously the quarterback is a real good player. And then, you know, they got good weapons on the outside and the receivers. And then they also have a good running game with a good running back as well, man. So we just got to be locked in on all levels, man, front seven and on the back end.
Okay, you grew up in a small town in West Virginia. No.
I went to West Virginia.
Pennsylvania. And then you went to West Virginia. Yeah. So now what's it like living in L.A.?
Oh, man, it's great. I don't think there's nothing better than this, man. Like, I feel like I'm spoiled to get drafted to the Chargers and experience this good weather, you know, the city, good food out here, man. You can't go wrong. The beaches, good views. I feel like there's nothing really better than Cali.
You mean you're not going to go back and settle down in Morgantown?
Nah, not at all, man. No, sir.
All right,
love Morgantown, though, but I done been there already.
All right, well, hey, Kaiser, thanks for coming on, man. We appreciate it. Have a great game Sunday. Go get them.
I appreciate you guys, man. Have a good one.
All right.
Yep.
Chargers take on the Bengals in Cincinnati this Sunday at 10 a.m. The pregame coverage begins on our sister station, Alt 98.7. And I want to remind you, get ready for Thursday Night Football. Zing Zang brings easy, great-tasting bartender-quality cocktails to help kick off the good times. Zing Zang has margaritas, Bloody Marys, and bourbon sours ready to drink tonight or tomorrow morning. Go to zingzang.com to find out where to stock up. Please Zing Zang responsibly.